The scripture today, we've got two, and the first is from Isaiah, second from Matthew. First one from Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. The second reading from Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Thank you, Pastor Michelle. It's good to be here. I bring you greetings from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. Fuller has been around for 77 years, and I wish I can tell you I've been with them all those years, but I'm not that old. We have three graduate schools, the School of Theology, the School of Psychology, and the School of Intercultural Study, where I provided leadership as the acting dean before I came over to Asia to begin my sabbatical on July 1st. Now, Fuller offers about 18 degree programs to meet a range of needs, preparations for ministry or further education, personal or spiritual enrichment, and everything in between. So students can, five of the programs are actually offered fully in Korean language and four in Spanish. The students can choose from a breadth of flexible and online format to form their study plan. So please come meet with me if you are interested in attending any of our graduate schools in the years to come. Now, thank God for this opportunity to come to Union to share with you and learn with you the passage recorded by Matthew in chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. My title is a Come Unto Me. So for those of you who have been reading for the last 400 some years, the King James Version, you know, I'm actually using passage from there. But none of us is that old, so but we still treasure that passage. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for my soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, in this short passage, Jesus is inviting those who are weary and carrying heavy burdens to come to him, and that he will give them rest. Now, the invitation is found only in the Gospel of Matthew. And although there was actually a similar invitation extended to Peter and Andrew in chapter 4, Jesus said to them, come, follow me. But it was literally, come after me. So it is a very tender invitation from Jesus. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the King James Version. So these are the people who have worked so hard that they are exhausted. I was on a taxi this morning from Hong Kong station, and that short trip, the driver was telling me how hard it has been for him for the last few weeks. He has not made enough money to meet the need. And then likewise, his next door neighbor, who works in a retail store, cannot open her shop most of the weekends, so they can't meet their needs. They work hard. They are exhausted. And they are much like the crowds that Jesus saw in chapter 9, and he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. That's the New American Standard Bible. So they are stressed out because they are under a lot of pressures. They are discouraged. because they might have been trying to figure things out on their own, thinking that there is really no one out there to help them. But they might also have an incorrect understanding of what God asked of them, much like the disciples before Jesus was arrested and the night that he was betrayed. So they comprehended with their own understanding. These disciples thought Jesus was asking them to arm themselves and get ready for a fight. So they presented him with two swords, as recorded by the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus said, "Enough of that. No more sword talk." Not my word. That's Eugene Peterson's translation of the Message. If I were to translate that, I would say, whatever, I give up. You know, I've been with you for all 3 years, and you still have no idea what I'm standing for. And you still want to fight. You still want to use the sword. So Jesus said to the disciples, "I give up, because this is not what I meant." But he didn't say much. He went to pray. By the time the temple servant came, Peter might have used one of the two swords to cut off the right ear of Marcus, a servant of the high priest. Now, he must have cut him from behind, because in the Roman traditions, left arm is for the shield and right arm is for the sword. So if you were to carry on your right arm and to cut off a right ear of another person, most likely you are cutting him from behind. I think if you were to cut him from the front, he will have to put up a fight. So he tried to cut off one of the ear and thought that he would be saving Jesus. We use our own means. We're trying to figure things out. No one can help us, so we have to resolve it on our own. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back where it belongs. All who use swords are destroyed by swords." Reflected years or decades later, Peter wrote in his letter, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whosoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for even evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." Stress begets stress. We all know that. And that is actually a title of a dissertation that submitted at UCLA in 2015. The dissertation reported 3 studies the researcher conducted to examine the mechanism by which daily stresses result in disastrous or disruptions to interpersonal relationships. There's enough research out there to help us see that our stress is not a one-way street. Newton's third law in the 3 laws of motions states that for every action in nature, there is an equal and opposite reaction. As a lunch conversation, this lady was telling her colleagues that she had a very stressful night. In fact, it was a very stressful day, and she was trying to get her stress over, trying to get unwind. But the next door neighbor was so annoying. He kept banging on my door. "And what did you do?" her colleague asked. "Well, I endured that banging, ignore him, and continue to play my piano as hard as I can." Playing your piano in the middle of the night, that's how you invited him over to bang at your door. stress begets stress. When we are under pressure and allowing our stress to spill out, spill over, our loved ones, our spouse, our children, our next door neighbor, our community, or even our society suffer. And some of them will react. And when they react, we feel even more stress. So hear the voice of Jesus. Put your sword back in its place and accept this invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now the word come has been used in the Bible for nearly 3,000 times. And each time it is always related to some kind of invitation. So Jesus extended this invitation to all of us, but with a description. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now the word yoke was originally used as a term for foreign oppression of the Jewish people. So the yoke of Pharaoh, the yoke of the Babylonians, and now by this time will be the yoke of the Romans. But the yoke is also a technical term in the Judaism. And in the Mishnah, the Oral Torah, it is stated that he that takes upon himself the yoke of the law, from him shall be taken away the yoke of the kingdom and the yoke of worldly care. But he that throws off the yoke of the law, upon him shall be laid the yoke of the kingdom and the yoke of worldly care. So because of that, every rabbi, all of the rabbis in fact, have their own yoke, which is the interpretation of the Torah. So they share their teaching, their understanding, their interpretation by living with their disciples. So Jesus did the same thing. And Jesus is asking us, inviting us to come and learn. Now the word learn in Greek is a verb form of the word disciple. It means to learn by inquiry, but also by use and practice, to acquire the habit of, be accustomed to. So Jesus wants us to form relationship with him so that we can be more like him, gentle and humble in heart. His yoke in the context of Judaism declares rest for souls from the heavy burdens, the Pharisaic law, bylaws and regulations. The Pharisees didn't start out to be negative. I mean, now that we say Pharisees, they're all bad words, right? If you accuse someone of a Pharisee, you're saying they're being legalistic, being merciless. But they didn't start out to be like that. They wanted to help people to understand the law of God so that they would not offend God. So, no, don't do that. God will be furious. Oh, no, don't do that. God will be upset. So they are trying to steer people away from the wrath of God. But, you know, when you have thousands of no, it's going to be problematic. It becomes a burden. We can be the same. A lot of Christian traditions has become a burden. They become so unbearable that it becomes a heavy yoke. But Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus is trying to steer us away from that Pharisaic bylaws and regulation. But Jesus is not promoting lawlessness. Jesus' understanding is very clear. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render unto God what belongs to God. Never about lawlessness. He goes on to say, that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is Jesus' way. His way is easy because he's the author and perfecter of our faith. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us so that that burden is light. Our Christian faith always put God as a male person. And I'm so sorry to tell you that it is not true. Because God created both men and women. So in God, we find both masculinity and femininity. In fact, in the Hebrew word, the word spirit is a feminine form. And that is why the Greek fathers, when they used the word to describe the Holy Spirit, even though in the Greek Testament, the spirit is in a neutral form, they will follow the Hebrew tradition and use feminine words to describe the Holy Spirit. For example, Clement of Alexandria will call the Holy Spirit the Holy Mother, not Virgin Mary, but the Holy Spirit. It was the Latin fathers, not all of them, but most of them, that wanted to cut away from that. So some of these people would destroy some of the icon, the mosaic, in the catacomb. Because all the Greek names, you can tell whether this is a man or a woman by the ending. So a lot of those names that the ending been destroyed or defaced is most likely female bishop or overseer. And then some of the icons with their breasts being defaced because they want to do away and tell the world that from day one, God only chose man to serve him. God created both man and woman. So God had both masculinity and femininity. So if I were to say, may the Spirit be with you and may she continue to guide you, don't call me a liberal. I'm biblical. Because that is in the Hebrew tradition. So what we are trying to model for others, as we model after Jesus, we also want to be very careful not to turn his yoke into another unendurable burden for others. By creating a God that only one gender can worship, and by despising another gender. What Jesus is talking about is not religion. He's talking about relationship. I heard a testimony in China a while back. A pastor who told me this was a Red Guard leader during the Cultural Revolution. At that time, he wasn't a Christian. He was asked to monitor with his group of Red Guards to monitor two old ladies in his village, making sure that they would not practice their religion. So they did. They monitored them day and night and found out that every day they would come together and read a book. And then so they confiscated it. And finally it was a Bible. So they torn it up and they burned it in front of them. So they thought that was the end of it. Or the next day they came. Lucy, what's the words today? And then Lucy was spelled the word. And then Mary was happy. And they love it and they rejoice. So the words were in their brain. You can't take them out. And then they were tasked to work. They worked diligently, but they always humming a tune as they work. And they were given ration. Every week they were only given one egg. Given an egg, everyone was so happy. But the two old ladies will make hard-boiled eggs and shell them and give those eggs to people who were in need. People who were sick. And then they will pound the eggshell, mix with water, have their weekly calcium intake. That's a very painful way of taking calcium. Years later, when the Cultural Revolution was over, the young man went off to study. And then one day he was passing by a church. By that time, the church has been reopened. And he heard this familiar tune. Very familiar. He has not been to church before. But I heard this song before. So he went in. And it was a Wesleyan hymn. Remember this hymn? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? I won't sing anymore. Lisa, everyone ran down. But before this hymn was over, he was in tears. Someone at the church helped him understand the salvation. He accepted Christ. He bought a ticket that weekend, went back to his village, found the two old ladies, apologized to them profusely. And the ladies were saying, oh, it's all right. We've been praying for you. They didn't tell him what they were praying for. They were praying that this Saul would turn to Paul. And eventually God called him into ministry. And then he found out in the same trip that after the Cultural Revolution, over half of that village became Christian. All because of that two hard-boiled eggs every week. People didn't know the message, but they saw Jesus in the two women's life. And if that is the one that make them do so, I want to follow him. In the word of St. Francis of Assisi, preach at all times. When necessary, use words. Isaiah prophesies the same similar message. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. Come to Jesus and learn from Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your invitation to this wonderful relationship. Help us to live more like you so that others can truly experience this rest. And when the cross in our lives becomes so heavy that prayers cannot even be formed, help us to lean on you. When we are too weary to lift our heads, help us to rest on your shoulder, knowing that our burdens will be shared, lifted, and eventually eased. You have said so, and you are faithful to your promise. Open our eyes also to the burdens borne by others around us. Open our hearts to the pain that cannot be shared, to the fear that cannot be spoken, to those who face darkness alone, so that they can see you through us. We pray this in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.